Now, if you have your Bible open to John chapter 16, I invite you to look at verse 28 down through verse 32. Verse 28 down through verse 32. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee or should tell thee, or that you should ask any man about anything. We know that you know everything, and you have no need of getting information from men. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I wanted this morning to speak on this subject, alone and yet not alone. Alone and yet not alone. Our Lord Jesus had just explained to his disciples that had been with him for the 3 years plus that he had been among them in his earthly ministry. He just had explained to them about his coming forth from the Father into the world, how that he was sent into the world by the Father on the mission of redeeming his people from their sin, and how that he was now going to leave the world. He was going to die the death of the cross. He was going to be with the Father. He was going back to glory to be with the Father. And his disciples, they finally came to grasp what he had to say. And so in the 29th verse, they said, Now you are speaking plainly, and you're not speaking with a proverb. We're able to understand you now. It's finally come home to us what you've been talking about. And we're convinced now, they said in verse 30, we're sure that thou knowest all things. We know that you're omniscient. We know that everything is known to you, that there's nothing that is hid from you. We know that the eyes of him with whom that we have to do is open, and that everything is clear to him. We know that you're God, and that you know all things, and you don't need to ask anybody about what's in man. You don't need to ask anybody any questions on earth, because you're God and you know all things. And by this they said, this is what they are saying, the disciples, by this, in that we're sure that you know all things, by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. This assures us that you're no fake and that you're not a hypocrite. This assures us that you truly did come down from heaven, that you're that bread that came down from heaven, and that you're that one that Moses, is a type of the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, that everyone that looks to him and believes on him will have everlasting life. We believe that you're the Christ. We believe this. This we believe, that you came forth from God, that you came down from heaven, that you wasn't born like other people, but that you came down from heaven. You didn't have any earthly father. That you were conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost, and you came down from heaven. That you're from God. They said, we believe this. And Jesus in verse 31 answered them and said, he asked them this question. He said, Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? Now this is a very interesting question. Our Lord looks for faith as the result of his teaching. Let me say that again. Our Lord looks for faith as the result of His teaching. We read in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think that our Lord, if He were here this morning, would ask us, and certainly if He was here in every one of our services, as I believe that He is, that He would ask at the end of every service of each one of our hearts, do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? You've listened to the preacher, and you surely have formed some kind of an opinion about what he's been talking about. And you must have surely felt something as the Word of God has been preached, as it's been proclaimed to you. And my question our Lord would put to you this morning is, do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? In Hebrews 4 and verses 2 and 3, Paul said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Hebrews 1 verse 18 and 19. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So, beloved, it is obvious that anything short of believing leaves a soul short of salvation. Anything short of believing leaves a soul short of salvation. Now, faith is not the Savior. It was not faith that was born at Bethlehem and died on Golgotha for us. It was not faith that loved us and gave itself for us. It was not faith that bore our sin in its own body on the tree, that died and rose again to put away our sins. Faith is one thing and Christ is another. But Christ is the Savior. And so don't let us confound. I don't want anybody to be confused. Don't let us confound nor ascribe to a poor, imperfect act of man that which belongs exclusively to the Son of the living God. Christ is the Savior. We're saved through faith, but the Lord Jesus is the one that did the work. He's the one that we trust in. He is the object of our faith. And anything short of faith in Christ leaves an individual short of salvation. Well, I would like to put the question of this text to everyone here today. I would like to impress it upon your heart, because you have listened to, God only knows how many sermons you've listened to in your years, and you're getting older every day, as we all are. And some of us have turned white-headed, and some are turning gray-headed here among us. The gospel is very familiar to you. And eternity is fast coming, fast approaching. Hell is opening up its jaws to receive those that are unbelievers. And so I put this question to you this morning. Do ye now believe? Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you trust in the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting Him this morning as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your Savior? Now, a truthful answer to this question will, I think, this morning tell us all what our condition is before God Almighty. Do ye now believe? Now, if you believe, then you stand this morning in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that you did, every sin that you committed, has been charged to Christ. And all that Christ did has been charged to you and to your account. You are accepted before God in the Lord Jesus Christ if you believe. Now, beloved, Christ loves faith wherever He sees it. It is to Him a very precious thing. It is a very precious thing to the Lord Jesus when He sees faith. And you know, one time he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will there still be any here when I get back? Well, it's a precious thing when the Lord finds faith. And that's because he's the author of all true faith, and he's the finisher of the faith of God's elect. And upon him, listen to me now, upon him, you who believe, you confer great honor. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you confer upon him all the honor it is possible for a fallen son of Adam to confer upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that so? Well, because your trust in the Lord Jesus adorns him with jewels. Your confidence in him puts the crown on his head. True faith gives glory to God and brings salvation to the lost soul. True faith gives glory to God. Beloved, if we believe on the Lord Jesus, that means that we don't have anything else to trust to. We're not trusting to anything else, but we're just trusting wholly to him. That we believe entirely that he has accomplished what God demanded that we do and that we be, and that he is that, and that he's accomplished everything that God Almighty would have him to accomplish. Let me say this clearly. The things that our Lord did not do when he was in this world were laid to his charge. The things that I did, he did not do them, but they've been laid to his charge. And he was treated as if he had done them all. Do you know that? Everything that we had done was laid to his charge, and he was treated like he did everything that I did. He didn't do any of them, but God treated him just like that he had done them. And the things that he did do, the righteous things that Jesus did do, are put to our account, and we are accepted and treated by God as if we had done them all. Now, isn't that a glorious thing? That's a blessed thing. That God, that's the summit of the gospel, is the fact that God treats us like we've done everything that Jesus did, and treated Jesus like he did everything we did, in order that we might have the blessed hope of the gospel. Well, I hope this morning that you have faith, and you can say this morning, well, I do believe in the Lord, and I do glorify God, and I do put a crown on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do ye now believe on the Lord Jesus? Well, another thing I notice here, to take the disciples down a notch or two, the Savior reminds them that whatever faith they had, they were a long while coming to it. He said, do ye now believe? Kind of sarcastically. In a way, there's some sarcasm here. Do you now believe? I've been with you for 3 years. I've been teaching you for 3 years. I have worked miracles in your midst. And for 3 years, you have seen me as I've manifested the Father to you in the world. But after all this time, have you at last come to a little faith? Do you now believe? Do you now believe? Are you just now getting around to believing? I've been with you all this time, and I've been faithful to God, and I've preached to you, and I've prayed for you, and I've been in your midst. Are you just now believing? Well, brother, sister, we never have any reason to boast of our faith. Make any difference how much of it we think we've got, we never have any reason to boast of it. For if we have any, we've been a long time coming to it, haven't we? We really have. We've been a long time getting around to believing on the Lord, but trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, well, I trust Christ, preacher. I trust him now. Well, I hope we do, and we'll all go to hell if we don't. But listen to me. We believe in God. We believe in God's Son. We believe in the blessed Holy Spirit. But how long did it take us to get to that? How long did it take God to drive out all of the self-righteousness and all of our self-confidence and to wean us from leaning on everything else that we could possibly find to lean on until we got to Christ? How long did it take? Well, for some people it takes a long time. It takes a long time. There are few that God is pleased to reveal His Son to, and in an instant they believe on Him and trust Him. But most generally, it takes us a good while, like it did these disciples, to get around to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It has taken all this time for the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit to work out what little faith that we have in us. All this time. I'm 63 years old now. And I would think that by now a man ought to give up unbelief. He ought to be done with it. I mean, if the Lord saved a fellow when he was 17 years old, he ought to give up on unbelief. What's he doing not believing God now? Well, beloved, we all have to fight. We all have to pray. We all got to confess that our faith is sometimes very, very weak. And our Lord here has reminded them that it's taken them an awful long time to come to what faith they have. We know and we're sure now, after 3 years plus. Then again, our Lord reminded them of another thing that I think is more humbling yet. That as their faith was long in coming, it might be very quick in going. It might be very quick in being gone. Because listen here to what our Lord says. Behold, He says, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Why, He said, the hour comes and is now come when you're going to be scattered, the shepherd will be smitten, and the sheep will be scattered, and you're going to leave me alone. You're all going to forsake me. So you got a little faith, have you? He said, well, it's not going to be long before your faith, you're going to find out you don't really have much at all, because you are going to leave me alone. Do you now believe? Do you now believe? Well, the Lord knew all things, and He knew what they were going to do. He knew what was going to happen when they were faced with losing their life for being identified with Him. He knew what was going to happen when the pressure and when the sun was going to beat down upon them. Just a little cloud of trouble appears on the horizon. There's some unseen difficulty that occurs. And then, where is your faith? Where is your faith? You know, there can be a little persecution, a little idle talk of an unbeliever, the sarcasm of an agnostic. And then, where is our faith? Our faith is suddenly gone. Is it not so that there are times when the sun is shining and when our lives seem to be trouble-free that we could just almost boast of our faith in God? We could almost brag about how we can believe on the Lord. You know, everything's going so well and we don't have much problem and we got enough to make it and we can get by and everything's all right. And we can almost brag on how much faith that we actually have. And we just feel so strong. And we feel like that our mountain will stand forever. And that there's never going to be any more test. That we believe God and we're going to sail right on to glory just that way. But oh, when the clouds come back after the rain. And when the wind of trouble howls. Then the heart is troubled and disturbed. And then the tongue is quiet. The tongue is quiet now. There's no bragging. Nobody's got anything to say. Everybody's got their head hanging down. Everybody's got their harp hanging on the willow tree. Everybody is shut up. Nobody's got anything to say now. Oh, yesterday everything was going so well and we believed God. But today, I mean the clouds are black and it looks like that there'll never again be any more blessing. And looks like the Lord's forgotten to be gracious. And so we're giving it up. We're giving it up. And we're murmuring and complaining. Well, let me say this to you. You that are tempted to brag. And you that are tempted to look at your faith. and say you think you really got something, let me say this to you this morning, that there will be something sometime between now and the time the Lord takes you out of this world that will bring you to the place where you will see that your faith is not what you thought it was. You will see that you just barely are able to hang on by just your fingernails to the Lord. There'll be something that'll upset your apple cart. There'll be some rocks that'll be put in your bed. There'll be some disturbances in your life. And you'll come to the place where you don't know whether you believe or whether you don't believe. You're going to come to the place where you'll consider just giving it all up. Ah, let him that glorieth, let him glory only in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Don't let any of us ever glory in our faith. Now the disciples, they didn't take heed to what our Lord said here. They didn't take this word of caution. It didn't mean a thing to them. None of them took heed, because certainly, and I'd say to you, certainly Peter did not. In Matthew chapter 26, I'd like you to turn back there with me if you will. Matthew chapter 26, and let me read to you verse 31 through 35 here. And I want you to listen to what this scoundrel said, and I want you to listen to what these others had to say. Now after our Lord had said, now you fellas are going to leave me alone. You're going to be scattered. And you're going to leave me alone. Oh, we now believe. Oh, do you? Well, look here. In verse 31 of Matthew 26, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And I want you to listen to this last statement. You got your Bible open? Look what it says. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all of them said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Every one of them said that. Well, I wish this morning that we could say that there is no man among us who will ever be a traitor to Jesus Christ. I wish we could say that. Or I wish this morning we could say that there is no woman here who will ever come up with a cold, indifferent heart that is plagued with unbelief and that departs from the living God. But beloved, it would be pure self-flattery for us to make such a statement as that. What others have done, what these disciples did in leaving the Lord Jesus, what they did, and what others have done, however base and mean, I want to say that we're capable of doing. We need to be aware of that. And pride says, no, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. Well, your pride, my friend, is wrong. You best just shut up. It's what you better do. Christ said, the hour cometh. No, he said, behold, the hour cometh. It is to call attention to something. When he says, behold, it's like some of the old books used to have a hand in the margin pointing towards something. That means you stop, you look, you listen up, because I'm going to say something. He said, the hour cometh, and now is, when you're going to be scattered and you're going to leave me alone. It's come, the time has come. Well, so let us learn the lesson of our frailty and cry to our God to hold us up and to keep us. Lord, keep me because I cannot keep myself. God, keep us. Christ of God, keep us because we cannot keep ourselves. Well, there's three things that I want to hurriedly mention to you this morning from this text of Scripture. Number one is the trial of our Lord Jesus. I'll be left alone. He said, you're going to leave me alone. Number two, his confidence. He said, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And then third, he's an example to us, and we're to follow his steps. And so we can learn just a few things from his example. First of all, then, notice our Lord's trial, for it may happen to you sometime. You may be forsaken, and you may be left alone in this world. Now, he was left alone. That was his trial. And he was talking to his disciples when he made these statements, and not one of them is going to stand. Every one of them, as we pointed out, is going to leave him. Every one of them. You know, over in Mark chapter 14, it talks about there how that the disciples will be offended, and there was one fellow by the name of John Mark. And this young fellow was there, and when the enemies of our Lord came to take him, and he had a linen cloth wrapped about, the Bible says, his naked body. And when they were trying to take the Lord and take the ones that were with him, they grabbed a hold of this linen cloth. And old John Mark, in order to save his life, he took off running, and they stripped that linen cloth right off him. And the Bible says he ran off naked. He ran off naked. Had to get away, don't you see? Now, this is one of our Lord's disciples. He'd rather run away naked right down through the populace than he would to stand and stay with the Lord. And so here he is. And those in the garden, we know that they couldn't sleep. They fell asleep, and all of them forsook the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate and Herod, there was not one there to defend him. There was not one solitary voice that was lifted up in support of the Lord Jesus. Now, these were honest men. Don't you conclude they were? They were honest men, all these disciples. They said they believed. We're sure and we believe, they said. But they were honest men, and I think they were. They wasn't being a hypocrite about all they said. They meant it. They meant every bit of it. We'll die rather than deny you. They meant it. Don't you mean what you say? Don't you mean what you say? I'll never do it again, Lord. Have you done some things and you said, well, Lord, I'll never do it again? Don't you mean that? Well, sure you mean it. Lord, I'll be faithful to you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. Don't you mean that? Well, we'll find out whether you do or not. Each one of them believed that he could go to prison, to death, rather than deny the Lord. They were only saying what they really intended to do. The Lord, you remember, asked Peter one time, he said, do you love me? Peter got irritated. The Lord said, well, do you love me, Peter? Lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. I'm talking about somebody that had appealed to the omniscience of the Lord Jesus to prove his love. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Lord's disciple. I'm talking about these poor, weak things that our Lord had for disciples. They turned their backs on the Lord in the day of battle. This was his trial. They were not his enemies, they were his friends. He was left by every man. Every man went to his own. Is John gone? Yes, every man. Christ looked and there was none that would stand behind him. The Lord Jesus must confront his accusers without a single witness in his favor. Every man was gone. Gone to his own. Of the people, there's none with him, the prophet had said. His own arm would bring him salvation. Well, where were they? Well, every man was looking to his own safety, looking out for himself. Now, that's what the scripture says here. Jesus said, every man to his own. Every man to his own, and that's what he meant. He said, every one of you is going to run because you're number one in your own heart and esteem and your own hide. You're going to save. You're going to save your own hide. You're really number one. You say you believe, but you don't really believe on me and trust me as you ought to. you're going to flee every man to his own. Now, men have this unique ability to calculate immediately when a situation comes up how much something is going to cost them, what a given situation is going to cost them, and off they go. Off they go. Oh, we know now, you're sincere and all of that, but what's that going to cost me? I mean, what's this going to cost? I mean, what's this going to end up? Where's this going to put me? And you know what happened? Every one of them took off. Because they're all looking out for their own eye. I'm talking about the disciples of our Lord. Every man to his own. Listen, is this all that Christ received from the best of his followers? Every man to his own? I'm telling you the truth. Every man to his own. That's the best he received from all of his followers. Are these thy friends, O Jesus? Lover of men, are these thy lovers? Look what they've done. Every one of them scattered. Every one of them went on to his own. This, beloved, the Savior had to feel. Did you ever feel like that there's not too many around you you can trust? Well, beloved, the Lord Jesus, he came to see the fickleness and the feebleness of those disciples in such a clear way at the time when he had to go to the cross. He saw that they didn't really were not able to stand. He saw what they were made out of. And I'll tell you what, this ought to cure every one of us ever boasting or bragging about one spiritual grace that we got in our heart. Just shut our mouths. Shut our mouths. We're cut out of the same kind of cloth these fellows were cut out of. And we ain't no better than they were. We would have done the same thing. We'd have left our Lord to face his accusers and to go to the cross. We would have left him alone and went on and took care of our own. That's what we'd have done. Well, the number two thing I said I was going to talk about was our Lord's confidence. He said, you're going to leave me alone. But he said, I'm not alone. Because the Father is with me. The Father's with me. You, but this bunch, they'll leave me. But the Father is not going to leave me. He's going to be with me. Well, look at this. This confidence that our Lord had kept him to his purpose. Kept him to his purpose. Now he said, all you going to be scattered. Well, has Christ gone? Is he still here? He's still here. Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and all the rest are gone. Has Christ gone? No. No, he's still standing to his purpose. He came into the world. The scripture says he came into the world to do the Father's will. The Father gave him a work, and he came into the world to do that work. And is he going to stick to the purpose? Is he going to stay? Is he going to stay under the load? Is he going to press on and persevere to Calvary and die and redeem his people, save them from their sin? Absolutely. Because he said, the Father is with me. He's come to save. Save he will. He's come to redeem. Redeem he will. He has come to overcome the world. And he said, I have overcome it. So the Lord Jesus, he's stuck in there. He's no coward. And he won't turn back. I'm here to honor Christ. I'm here to glorify him. That's what this is about. This is a little meeting here to glorify the Son of God. And to tell you about the stick-to-iveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His confidence in God sustained him in the prospect of the trial. He said, I am not, present tense, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He meant the same thing that old David meant when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Present tense. The Lord is with me. Now our Lord's alone, the Father's with me. This was contradicted by appearance. Let me explain that. He did not say, he's not saying here when he said the Father's with him, he's not denying or contradicting what he would have to say in just a little while when he hung on that cross, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't contradicting that. But do you know, it looked like the Father had completely abandoned him and forsaken him entirely. It looked that way. That was the appearance of things. Well, how could he say, the Father's with me, and at the same time cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When God forsook him, it was in his official capacity as the lawgiver and the executive of the law. You see, the Father had given the law, and he was the executive of the law, and so the Father forsook the Son because the Son stood before him or hung on the cross as a lawbreaker because the people he was representing were lawbreakers. And so the Father forsook him and meted out death to him, but yet in his personal relationship, the Lord Jesus is the Son forever. And the Father did not forsake him in his relationship. The Father was with him. And don't ever believe that God can forsake his own, because he never can and he never will. God will never forsake his own. Now listen to me. The Father was with him as to his eternal purpose and covenant. Do you remember that when Abraham was going to Mount Moriah to offer up Isaac? And the scripture says, it is written, so they went, both of them together. Both of them together. Abraham was taking Isaac to offer him up as a sacrifice. They went, both of them together. So did the eternal Father and his well-beloved Son when God was about to give up his own Son to death. There was no divided purpose. They went, both of them together. And so when Jesus was in the garden, when Jesus was being accused, and when he was in Pilate's hall, and when he was hung on the cross, he and the Father were together. They were together. The Father was with him, just like old Abraham was with Isaac, the two of them going together. And so the Father was with the Son. All the work of Christ was the work of the Father, and the Father supported him to the very end. Jesus said, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Well, the atonement was the gift of the Father, but it was the work of the Son. In all that he suffered, he could say, truly say, the Father is with me. Well, lastly, there's some lessons here in this example of our Lord. When he's forsaken by everybody, and yet he is confident in his God. Yet I'm not alone. Well, learn this, number one. Learn to be faithful when others are unfaithful. Learn to be faithful. Learn to stand your ground. Are you a Christian? Do you trust Christ? Do you love him? Is the Bible true? Then stand. You say, well, it's not popular to stand that way anymore. I mean, you know, there's not hardly anybody believes anything anymore, and that's true. But you need to stand like your Lord. You be faithful when everybody else is leaving the cause of God and truth. You be faithful just like your Lord was. Never desert him and his cause. Number two thing I learned from this is that we with Christ need to believe that God the Father is all sufficient. That God is all sufficient. You say, there seems to be so many things against me. There seems to be such a force against me in this world. There seems to be nobody for me. Well, beloved, let me ask you this question. Are you a child of God? If you are, then God is for you. And if God be for you, then the scripture says in Romans, it won't do anybody any good to be against you. If God is for you, and God is for all of his people. God is enough for you. You say, well, I'd like to have a few people to stand with me, or so would I. It's always blessed to have friends and to have those that will stand with you. Come whatever will, stand with you. But beloved, when there isn't anybody to stand with you, is God going to be enough? You need to ask yourself that question. Jesus found out the answer to that, beloved. He found out the answer to that. He found out God is enough. God is enough. Not only enough for you, but for all of all believers, regardless of however weak they may feel themselves to be. God is enough. Jesus said, "The Father is with me." Rest in God. The third thing is this: rest in God despite the appearance of things. Are you poor? Said, "Preacher, I'm poor. I don't know how I ever going to make it. I don't see any way out for me." Well, hey, join the crowd. I've been there a number of times, a lot of times in my life. No way out. Where can it ever come from? Well, there's no streams flowing my way. I don't see nothing big enough coming toward me that's going to provide all that I need. I don't see it. Where is it at? The appearance of things is, it's just a little while, and it's all going down the wash. It's all going down the drain. What are you going to do? Well, that's the appearance of things. Are you weak? Say, "I'm weak, preacher." Well, the Bible says our strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the appearance of things. May look like you're as weak as water, and you may feel like you're weak as water, but if you're a believer, you stand and trust God. And regardless of the appearance of things, and the Lord's going to see you through. Are you scourged with what seems to you to be the biggest stick that God Almighty has in His arsenal? You think you're getting a whipping like nobody else ever got? It may look that way. And I'll tell you, it looked that way to me many times in my life, that God got the biggest stick He could get, the biggest club He could get to whip on me. But I'll tell you this, that's the appearance of things. The Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. So God loves and He chastens His people. And you, listen, got to rest in God despite, you got to believe in Him, though you may sometime or other have to ask, feeling this way, and we're bound to feel this way once in a while, "Why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you made me a target for all of your errors?" Why? Believe Him when you cannot see Him. That's what Jesus did. Believe Him when He frowns on you. Believe Him when He smites you. Believe Him when He slays, because this is the climax of it all, to say with Job, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." These are some of the things that you need to learn from our Lord saying, "I'm alone and you left me alone, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me." Well, it is His, God, it is His to do what He likes. It is mine to trust Him, let Him do what He will. That's my obligation, to trust the Lord. Well, the last thing is this, fourth thing that we learn from this, is that whatever trial you have in your life, and however pressing it is, and you don't know the outcome, I know you don't. Unknown things belong to God, they're in His hands. Just learn this, that it'll not last long. It'll not last long. Did you notice how the Christ puts it? He said, "Behold, the hour cometh." Only an hour. He calls the whole period from the bloody sweat in Gethsemane's garden to the death of the cross. He calls it all the hour. The hour. It is not a year, brother. It's not a month, sister. It's not even a week. He said it's an hour. Your affliction, your trial will last an hour. It's the part of faith to shorten days to hours. That's something you need to remember. It's a part of faith to shorten days to hours. Say, "It's going to last longer and I'm going to hold out." Well, can you wait another hour, brother, sister? Can you wait just an hour? Well, shorten it down. It's just an hour. Your trial is just an hour. That's all you're going to have to wait. Just wait an hour. Jesus said, "The hour is come." All of that mess necessary for our Lord to go through at the hands of men, wicked men, in order to secure our redemption. He said, it's just an hour. Father's with me. The poet said this, and I close, let doubt then and danger my progress oppose. They only make heaven more sweet at the close. Come joy or come sorrow, whatever may befall, an hour with my God will make up for them all. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll see that all these little afflictions, you know, that they really didn't last long as far as God is concerned. They just seem like a long time to people that were in a hurry. I want to get them over with. So we can go on back to our own thing. The Lord has a purpose in all things. May we trust Him, bow to Him. And I hope this morning, even if there's somebody here who says, I feel alone, that you'll be able to say, well, I'm not really alone. The Father's with me. Do you now believe? Do you now believe? You may be afraid to say anything after you read about them disciples and found out about them fellas that said they believed. Oh, we believe and are sure now. We're sure now. We're sure. Oh, we believe. Do you now believe? Do you now? We got a young lady in our